In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Truly.
We've had two baptisms in the past 2 days. When there are baptisms, I'm very happy because there is yet another one that has now the ability to become completely free, become completely such that they would be at peace and know God as they were created to know Him. But that is only possible if we bring something to God. He's brought us His grace through baptism, but we must bring something to Him. And I thought I would talk to you about the last few Sundays, sort of in a general way, because they all have the same message. Of course, they have multiple different messages, but they also focus on one thing that's very, very important. Now, if I could ask God for any one thing for my grandson and also for Samuel, Noah and Samuel, who were just baptized, and for all of you, it would be something that I talk to you a lot about because I think it's absolutely necessary. You got to have fire in your belly. You got to really care. God must really matter to you, not worldly things. And whether you're a sinner or not, whether you have weaknesses or not, that's not such a big deal. What's a big deal is, do you have fire in your belly? Do you really care? If you care, then God will lead you to the path of truth. He will have you find Him, and you will abide with Him forever. But only if you really care. Only if you got fire in your belly. Now, there are lots of examples of this. The blind man today is one of them, and perhaps I'll cover him last. Let's start even before Pascha, just a few days before. Peter says, I won't deny you. Everybody else will deny you, but I won't deny you. Why did he say that? Because of his great love for the Lord, and also because he was a little full of himself and didn't understand how weak he really was. But out of love, he said, I won't deny you. But then the moment came when he was afraid and he denied him. But then what did he do? He went outside and wept, and he stuck around. And when the resurrection came, the Lord appeared to him alone, and then later, after fishing, and restored him to his apostolic ministry. Not because of his great virtues. He had already shown he didn't have them. But he had fire in his belly. He really cared. And he ordered his life according to what Jesus taught him. He made mistakes, profound mistakes. But because of his great love for God, God helped him. Same thing with Thomas. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and in his side. I won't believe. But he stuck around. So on the 8th day, the Lord appeared to Thomas and restored him. Certainly we cannot commend Thomas for choosing not to believe, but we can commend him, and we should emulate that he cared. Even though his whole world had been shattered, he loved Jesus Christ. He couldn't conceive of any other life. So he stuck around. And the Lord brought him from his ignorance, from his sin, to full restoration. The myrrh bearers, because of great love for God, they wanted to anoint his body. But he had already told them that he would rise from the dead, and they didn't understand that. He told them many, many times, over and over. Now, what would you think if you were a teacher and you're trying to teach someone 2 + 2, and they never, ever remember? They never remember. Over and over and over again. This is what happened. They were taught over and over again, and yet they didn't remember. So they went to do something that was actually impossible, to anoint a man they thought was dead and was not. You can't anoint a live man. But because of their love, because there was fire in them that forced them to go, even though it was very dangerous, they were going across to encounter 5 highly trained soldiers that could kill them in an instant. The big stone that they had no way of rolling away from the tomb. And yet they went anyway. Some would call it a fool's errand. But we Christians know what it is. We know that it's love. that motivated them. Even though they did it incorrectly, God blessed their efforts. What about the paralytic? But he waited for a long time by the sheep pool. And he was losing faith, because when the Lord comes to him and talks to him, he doesn't exactly sound like a world beater about faith. He basically says, well, you know, I'm sitting here and I never can get down in time because somebody always gets down there before me. Well, that's not what the Lord asked. He says, do you want to be healed? And he answered, I can't be healed because of such and such. So his faith was waning at the time. But the Lord saw his desire and restored him. What about the Samaritan woman? The Samaritan woman was a woman who had had five husbands, and she was living with a man who was not her husband. She was going to the well in the middle of the afternoon because she didn't want to encounter other people who were going to gossip about her and such. And then she starts talking to the Lord and is amazed that a Jewish man would speak to a Samaritan, much less a woman, which wasn't really done in that day in public like that. And then she starts to question him, and she shows that she has a lot of theological ignorance. So she has moral problems, theological ignorance, but she had fire in her belly. Because when he told her, you've had five husbands, the one you have now is not your husband, instead of just running off and saying, how dare this stranger talk to me like that, something ignited in her. She felt his divinity. She didn't understand it as his divinity yet, but she understood his divinity on some small level. And what did she want to do? She wanted to go to her very people who ostracized her because she was a woman of ill repute and say, I've seen the Christ. So she brought her people to Christ, and that's why we call her equal to the apostles, Saint Fontenay. There's a lot wrong with the way she was living her life, but there was something right, and that was that fire in her belly. You've got to have that. That's what I want for you. That's what I want to impart to you the most as a pastor, that you would have desire, so that if you don't pray very well, you'd have this desire to pray better, and therefore you would. I'll tell you, if you really want to do something, you end up getting it done, don't you? If you really want to go to college and get your degree in engineering, then you get it done. Now, if you don't really want it that much, then you end up leaving school. If you really want to have God in your heart, then you get it done. Of course, I shouldn't say it that way, because God gets it done. But you must have this desire. Let's talk about the blind man. So the blind man was blind from his birth. There is so much theology in this particular story. We could talk for a long time. But what I really want you to get out of it is to have the desire to change. And therefore, stop doing some of the stuff you're doing and start doing some of the stuff you should be doing. A little bit at first and more later, but with desire. Doesn't matter if you make mistakes. Doesn't matter if you get some things wrong. What matters is how much do you care? So the blind man is born blind, actually born without eyes. And the Lord anoints his eyes with clay and makes eyes for him. Tells him to go to wash in the pool of Siloam. So this blind man with mud streaming down his face has to stumble to a pool and wash, right? Come on. Why would he want to do that? Have people tripping him and kicking him and maybe throwing stuff at him and everything. But he obeyed. And then when he's healed, he has a new trial where we see how without virtue people can be, how they can be so full of hatred and cowardice. And they questioned him because they really wanted to get at Christ, right? And even his parents basically abandoned him because they were afraid of the ruling Jews. They didn't have any fire in their belly. But he did. Because as they started questioning him, and it was clear they were going to throw him out. Here was a man who was blind, who was considered probably to be a great sinner in that society. Because if you had some physical malady, people thought, well, you must be cursed by God. So here was his chance. He has eyes. He can become a member of society. People can honor him. And they're going to throw him out if he doesn't say the right things. So what does he do? He doesn't say the right things. Well, the right things from their perspective. But from our perspective, they were beautiful things. Where they start to question him, and he says, do you want to be his disciples? Of course, that made them extremely angry. And later on, as he showed that he wasn't going to back down because he had courage, they threw him out. So what does he do? He finds Jesus. And he's fully restored, not just his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes. This is the story of you and me, all of these people. All of these people with lots of imperfections, lots of stuff going wrong, things they don't understand, sins. Sometimes I lost courage. But with all of them, there was this desire to be with God. Do you have that desire? As your pastor, sometimes I question. I don't know. Sometimes I can't tell. The least attended day in the entire church year seems to be Thomas Sunday. What a terrible indictment that is to the Christians that don't bother showing up. Because if we've just seen the resurrection and have the joy of the resurrection, we should desire, like the blind man, to seek out Christ and be with him because of the fire in our belly. But people take a rest. They've been busy. They had lots of church, maybe two or three times the previous week. So, you know, take a rest. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is to continually be seeking after God. Whether or not you have sins, whether or not you're weak, whether or not you have things to confuse you, none of that matters if you have fire in your belly. And every single one of these instances, and I can come up with a whole lot more, they had fire in their belly. Do you? This is what I want for these boys that were baptized, that there would be this great desire in them to be with God, to fulfill their purpose. Then no matter what happens, I mean, they're going to go through teenage years, you know? That's not going to be easy. All of us who are adults, we went through teenage years. Which one of us would like to do it again? Nobody, right? Nobody wants to go through teenage years again. The confusion, the anger, the feeling isolated, feeling alienated, all the sexual thoughts. You want to go through that again? I sure don't. But when they go through it, if they have fire in their belly, then they're going to get through it. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. That's what will save you, is you have fire in your belly. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. And if you don't, then I hope God reveals it to you. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.